And welcome, friends, to this, the Friday morning edition of the Grace Hour. Once again, broadcasting live from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach right here in Baltimore, Maryland. And it's great to be with you, friends, on this Friday edition of our podcast. If you've been tuning in this week, you know that our theme is Discovering God's Will. For many of us, that's just what it's been. It's been a discovery of discovering God's will, God's purpose for our lives. And today we're going to take a look at that from this perspective, regarding God's will and my will. How does that work? Can the two become one? We'll talk about that and many other things related to it in this, the Friday edition of the Grace Hour. My name is Pastor John Levin. Joining us in the studio today, Pastor Bob Colbin. Pastor Colbin is both a trustee here at the Greater Grace World Outreach and an elder, and he has a lot of different responsibilities. One of them, of course, teaching in our Bible College, Maryland Bible College and Seminary. But he's been a part of this ministry for many, many years, and this is his very first time on the Grace Hour.
That's so right. Welcome. Yeah, thank you.
This is going to be a great time because we've got such a great subject matter. And I'm going to get things started, Pastor Bob, and I want you to think about this. As far as the difference between my will and God's will, and I think that it's safe to say this, that my will started out easy, but then it got very hard. God's will starts out hard, and then it gets very easy. Mm-hmm. And I say that because as I reflect back on my life, when I was calling the shots and it was my will that I wanted to be done, it did start out easy. It seemed like I could do whatever I wanted to do. The consequences were not too great, not too harsh. But over time, my will got very, very difficult. It landed me in some hot water. It led me into trouble. It led me really into the brink of despair. And that's when I discovered God's will, mm-hmm. which was to save my soul. But that started out rather hard. It wasn't easy because mm-hmm. it was a huge transition. It made me think a lot of marriage. You know, you live your life for yourself, you know, up to a certain age. Then all of a sudden, someone else is now a part of your life. You have to think about them. You have to put their interests, many cases, ahead of your own. And it was, you know, it can be a turbulent time in mm-hmm. a young person's life that is getting married. So what are your thoughts about that? Does that sound like it makes any sense?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, as an unbeliever, basically, even though we're really subject to the prince and power of the air, so we think that we are living our own will, but ultimately we are really just responding to the initiations of the prince of power of the air, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2. So, but we're really only, you know, our only concern is about ourselves. What do we want to do? What is going to make me happy, and what is going to and you know, we see that. I mean, I think not to get off topic, but I think that's the spirit of the age that we're living in right now. And I think it's very obvious that we're living in a time where, like, people are just concerned about themselves.
Yes.
And they enter into a marriage agreement. They get married. They have these vows. They profess their great love for someone at the altar. But then 2 years later, they say, I'm not happy, and so I am getting out of this because it's all about me.
Yes.
So that really, that's the life that we lived.
Yeah.
And, you know, Satan would say, jump, and our answer was always, how high?
Mm-hmm.
And so we think we're living this life, it's just us, and we're just following our carnal desires for the most part. And then all of a sudden, like you said, our life is totally interrupted. And yeah. in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
And, but then all of a sudden, you know, it's not just about us anymore. And now, you know, the will of God is something that we desire.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because we go from someone who just desire to do our own will and what is best for me and what is going to please me, what is going to make me happy. And now all of a sudden, I'm not saying it happens instantly. It certainly doesn't happen instantly. But in a sense, we have a brand new nature when we receive Christ. And now we have, it is, in a sense, like a marriage contract, in the sense of there's somebody else's will that we are concerned about, and that's the will of God, you know. And I think, you know, I think I mentioned the other day to you, I think it's interesting that on a planet of maybe 8 billion people, how few people there really are in the world that are even concerned about God's will. You know, and I'm talking about even maybe many believers,
sure.
You know, but, you know, and I have said to people that have asked, you know, some people come up to you and they say, hey, can you pray? Well, what can I pray for? I want to know God's will.
Mm.
And I think, like, how does God respond to that? And my thought is that just that question blesses God.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because you could say, yeah, you know, he could say it back to us like, you know, there's 8 billion people and you're concerned about what I want. And I have 7 billion X number of people out there that could care less about what the will of what my will is. God's saying this, you know. And so I think just the fact that we desire to know the will of God and actually we desire to walk in the will of God is something that blesses God. Just by itself, you know. And I think really the question with the will of God is for believers is how do I discover that?
Yes. Yeah. And it does beg the question when it comes to asking that question, is God interested in playing hide and seek? Is that what he's looking for? You know, I'm going to hide it. I'm going to keep it from you. And then you're just going to have to go looking and, you know, good luck. You might find it. You might not. Certainly
right.
That's not the case. But you really nailed it when you said the main problem with my will is that first and foremost, it's about me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you think of this country song, you know, Jesus, take the wheel. Why would that be even a prayer? Because as long as we're behind the wheel of our wills, so mm-hmm. to speak, you know, we're capable of wrapping ourselves around a telephone pole.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm so grateful that God allowed that to happen in our lives,
mm-hmm.
where we got to a place where we said, you know what? You take the wheel. I'll sit in the passenger seat. My calling the shots has only got me into trouble,
mm-hmm.
Heartache, difficulties, despair. And I'm looking for something better than that for mm-hmm. my life. And even that has a tinge of selfishness in mm-hmm. it. But at the same time, it's when we discover that really doing God's will is far better than pursuing our own.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think, you know, I know for yourself, you know, for me, it's maybe 48 years of following Christ out of my 73 years. And even, you know, being married for 2 years before we received, you know, my wife and I received Christ. You know, when I look back, I say the script, if you want to say it this way, the script that God had for us, which was 180 degrees different from the path that we were on. I mean, I loved my wife. Our marriage was great. You know, people could look at us and say, oh, you guys are on the right path. But actually, deep in our hearts, there was such discontentment, not with each other, but with life and,
yes.
and saying like, it's got to be something else, you know? So, it's interesting. And it's, the process of God finally grabbing a hold of us and, you know, like I couldn't imagine what my life would be now 50 years later if I didn't find Christ 50 years ago.
Yeah.
And discovered his will, which was so infinitely better than anything I could have planned for myself and for my wife, you know. So we stand here. And has it always been the way we thought it would go? Not all the time, but ultimately, to allow God to direct your life is the way to live.
Yeah.
And, because, you know, everything is couched with love. You know, concern, comfort, you know, comfort in the sense of God comforting us in all kinds of situations, you know, living a life with purpose, living a life with a vision, you know, being with people that are like-minded, that have a similar vision and purpose. And this is what the will of God has given us.
I know.
And, something that was so lacking in our life and something we never even considered,
yeah.
You know, to be content. to serve God, to even sit here behind a microphone and talk about the things of God, something I couldn't have imagined 50 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
But this is what God gives us. And, you know, that desire to know the will of God, I think, is amazing in the heart of a believer, you know. And I think, like you said earlier, you know, God is so creative in the way that he reveals it to us.
Yeah.
You know, and when we look through the scriptures, you know, I think even as Christians, we can be looking for a formula, you know, and I think the famous example is Gideon, I think in Judges 6 and 7, where he put out a fleece before God.
Yeah.
And as a young believer, I remember reading that and I said, oh, okay, this is how you do it. This is the formula for finding out God's will. So not that I ever did it, you know, like literally, but, you know, we see something. Oh, this is how God revealed his will to Gideon. And Gideon responded by saying, putting out these fleeces. So as human beings, maybe I'll say it this way, even as Christians, we are always looking for methods or formulas to discover the will of God.
Yes.
And the thing about the scriptures is, God revealed his will to men and women of God so uniquely that God says, you're not going to put me in a box. You know, there's no formula for discovering the will of God. You know, it's not in the wind. It's not in the earthquake. You know, it's not in the storm. But in Elijah's case, it was the still small voice.
Yeah.
And so, okay, I got it now. It's the still small voice. So I have to go somewhere and be quiet and allow God to speak to me in that still small voice. But this is human nature.
Yeah.
You know, how can I repeat this?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I often think of Jesus healing blind people, doing it a little differently each way.
That's right.
And I picture maybe a scribe or one of his disciples trying to write down, okay, this is how people receive their sight.
Yes.
This is what Jesus did. He spit and he writes it down and says, okay, I got this. But then the next time he does it a little differently, and I could picture the guy, you know, scribbling over the, okay, no, it's this way, you know. And that's the mystery of the will of God, you know. Yeah. It's something we desire, and God reveals it to us in so many different ways, you know.
I mean, did you ever imagine yourself, you come from upstate New York. I, myself, you grew up
outside. Actually, the city area is where I was born,
Brooklyn. Oh, you were in the city? But you did move up to upstate.
We received Christ when we moved upstate.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
And, of course, it's beautiful up there. It's a beautiful part of the country. And where I lived outside of Boston was beautiful. The shore. Did you ever imagine yourself being in Baltimore, Maryland? That's my point.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
I mean, we just visited, we were just in upstate New York last weekend, and I was saying to my wife, when we were looking to buy a house up there, there was a little town of Balsam Spa, had one traffic light. And I said to my wife, I'm not going to buy a house on the north side of that, because then to go to church, we'd have to go through that traffic light. There was one traffic light, so we bought a house on the south side of the town. And then, you know, God's sense of humor, here it is X number of years later. I remember when we first moved down here, driving down to where the church Bible school was, and the day school, there was probably 25 traffic lights.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought to myself, God is having a good laugh over this. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My experience was, we came to Baltimore a year before we moved to Baltimore. We came for a youth rally.
Mm-hmm.
And the location was over in Bel Air Road, where the church building first was. And I remember we had a wonderful time. The rally was outstanding. The young people, we gathered together. We had great fellowship, a great time. But I wasn't particularly sold on the city of Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember when we left that weekend to go back to the beautiful Berkshire Mountains of Western Massachusetts,
yeah,
the lovely campus that we were a part of. I remember looking in the rearview mirror and seeing the Baltimore skyline as the sun was going down. And I literally said these words, I am so glad I don't live in this city. And within a year later, we were packed up and moving to Baltimore.
Moving to Baltimore, yeah.
And that was the will of God for our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I guess we could ask this question. Do we really want to know what God's will is? And I like what Lewis Berry Schaefer, he was the founder of Dallas Theological Seminary. He said, God's leading is only for those who are already committed to do as he may choose. And we have to kind of resign ourselves to that reality, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, from our own experience, we could say, God, this is what I've learned. You will choose better for me than I could choose for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a fact, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Yeah. And it can be, you know, as we know, and I know, Pastor Love, that you've preached about this a lot. And, you know, I think one time in a message you asked this question, you know, kind of a rhetorical question of, God, is there any other way to reveal your will to me than maybe through a trial or some situation that is not, maybe not desirous, you know? And your answer was, for the most part, no. God would say, this is the way that I can lead you and teach you primarily many times is through trials and tribulations where he gets our attention, but then shows his faithfulness to us. And many times that's where we grow the most sometimes is through those situations, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah. And, you know, following the will of God is not always, you know, accepted by those around us. You know, I can remember when we left Lenox to move to Baltimore and spoke to some family members. And they looked at me because we had just moved to Lenox. So we were only there 1 year, three kids packed up, moved to Bible school. 1 year later, packed up, moved to Baltimore. And for my wife and I, it was like you said, it was the will of God. And so, God, you called me to Bible school. There's no longer a Bible school here. So I have to leave the area. Where's the Bible school? It's in Baltimore. Easy decision. Sounds crazy. But an easy decision. Rider truck, load it up, let's go. Family members thought I was totally out of my mind and even said to my face, you're an unfit father for moving your family around. And I said, you know, I am moving my family around according to the will of God. Like, what could be greater? In my mind, I don't mean like I was great. I mean, like to follow God's will, like what a beautiful thing. Now, if I was following God's will to get a better job in another city and move my family for jobs or for a career advancement, I would have been applauded. But when I said I am moving my family for the will of God, this is what God has called us to, I was called an unfit father.
Wow.
And I said, you know, and so this is, you know, sometimes when we follow the will of God, we are out there on a limb. And in the orbit that we live in here in the church, it's like, you know, well, I'm quitting my job and I'm moving to France to go in the mission field. Like in the church, it's like, oh, praise God. That's awesome. We're praying for you. That's a great decision. We'll support you with whatever we can do. And then outside the church, it's all these contrary voices saying, what do you mean you're quitting your job to go on the mission field? What do you mean you're quitting your job and going to Bible school? What do you mean you're quitting your job and you're going to move to another city? What do you, you know, you could just go on and on and on with that, you know? And so the will of God is interesting because sometimes God puts us out there. We know, and maybe our family knows because we've communicated to them what the will of God is. And like-minded people will support us in that. But then there's this whole host of people that, you know, are, you know, important in your life, family members, friends, et cetera, you know, that look at you like you lost your mind.
Yeah, sure.
My mother said to me one time when I told her we were moving to Baltimore, I love my mother. She was like a great supporter. But she looked at me and she said, you just became normal and now you're moving again. And I totally understood what she meant by that, mm-hmm. you know, because sure. In her mind, normal was settling down and buying a house and nothing wrong with that stuff at all. I mean, I own a house and I understand that. But to do these kind of things for the will of God is not something that's applauded by the world.
No, that's
and
right.
That's where when God really confirms something in our heart, in a sense, it's easy for us to run with that.
Mm-hmm.
And well, how do you know it's the will of God? You know it's the will of God.
Yeah,
and that's a whole other discussion, really. But mm-hmm. You know, so that this is the life of a believer.
Yeah.
Where many times we're stepping out on a limb very secure limb because God is with us on that limb, but other people will be judging us based on different criteria.
Yeah.
And so we have to have that conviction in our heart, yeah.
Yeah. And God's will is not, it's not always the mystery that we may think it is. Mm-hmm. It's something that, it's almost like we just seek God. We're asking for direction and guidance in our lives. We're not trusting in ourselves. It's that Proverbs 3:5-6 principle, trusting God all, with all of our hearts. Mm-hmm. Not leaning to our own understanding. And again, our own understanding what might bring us in a completely different direction that God wants to lead us in. Mm-hmm. So we have to abandon that. But I like, for instance, when Abraham knew that he had to separate himself from his nephew Lot. We're not just talking about one man separating from another man, but their whole clans. Mm-hmm. There could have been as many as hundreds of people with Abraham, hundreds of people with Lot. But the friction became so great, and we read about it in the book of Genesis, that they had to part ways. I think Abraham's attitude was better that we leave each other's presence physically before we get to a place where we become separate in mm-hmm. our hearts mm-hmm. toward each other.
Yeah.
And they did that. And Abraham, who really was the older and should have made the first choice, gave that to Lot mm-hmm. and said, you know, you go to the left, I'll go to the right. You go to the right, I'll go to the left. And we know what Lot did. He chose the well-watered plains of the Jordan. That led to a disastrous conclusion mm-hmm. for his life and his family. But he gave him that choice because I think he had abandoned his own choice to God. And then when Lot was separated from Abraham, God said, Abraham, lift up your eyes. Look to the north, the south, the east, and the west. And as far as you can see, it's all yours.
Mm-hmm.
What a great decision he
yeah,
made.
Yeah.
And we can make that same decision, knowing that God is really, he's got our interests at stake. And we may not completely understand it. We said in a class this morning, the Apostle Paul said, I want to go to Rome and I want to preach at Rome. Well, he ended up in Rome, but he was a prisoner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But is that the end of the story? Not at all. While in prison, he wrote epistles that we are so grateful for even to this present hour.
Yeah.
Right? The prison epistles, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Where would we be without those mm-hmm. epistles today?
Mm-hmm.
So that was the will of God. And it kind of fulfilled a desire that Paul had. He wanted to get to Rome as a preacher, but he ended up being there as a prisoner.
Mm-hmm.
But that just shows you that God allows everything in our lives to fulfill his purpose.
Yeah.
We can take comfort in that.
Yeah. Yeah, he redeems everything.
Yes.
And it's interesting, like the process that, you know, whether it's a Joseph or Paul situation and, you know, the process isn't always understandable to us. You know, here's Paul, I want to go and preach. And the process was, it's quite a process when you read about it in the book of Acts and him ending up there. And like you said, ending up there as a prisoner. You know, not maybe the way that he thought he would get from point A to point B, but mm-hmm. along the way, God also revealed many things to him, you
yes.
know, and in Joseph, we see the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, if God would have said, Joseph, you're going to become Pharaoh's right hand man and save your family before he got thrown into the pit and before his family abandoned him, he would have understood it to some degree. Still, it was not a pleasant experience, but ultimately, it was the same thing. God's will was fulfilled. Joseph was used by God to save his family and save a nation, really, at that point. You know, so, and as he said, that which you meant to evil, God meant for good. Like, God had, like, this was all the plan.
Yes.
And like, but sometimes it's, you know, sometimes, Pastor Love, it's interesting. What if God told Joseph, this is what's going to happen to you? And you'll be put in prison and you'll be falsely accused by a woman and who tried to attack you. You fled. She's going to accuse you. They're not going to believe you. You're going to be forgotten about in prison. You know, make sure you remind them, you know, tell them that I'm here. All these things. What would Joe, you know, we would say, oh, okay. I know this. Therefore it's okay. I don't think so.
I don't know. I might say, here am I, send someone else, Lord. Right?
Or as is there another way, God?
Yes, yeah. An easier way for me. That was a 17-year trial.
Wow. Yeah.
We read his whole story, beginning in Genesis 37 to the end of the book of Genesis. We can read it in 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. We can say, what's the big deal? But what if God said to you, that's going to be a 17-year long trial? Mm-hmm. I think I would be the first one to say, I'm not up for that. You got to get someone else.
Yeah.
David could say the same thing, right? God would say, David, I'm going to raise you up. You're going to defeat Goliath. That sounds awesome. Yeah, you'll be the hero in Israel. Sounds great. But then you'll be chased like a dog through the wilderness by Saul. He'll be jealous. He'll want to put you to death. And you'll have to live that way for a number of years before I finally raise you up and install you as the next king of Israel. David mm-hmm. might say the same thing. You get something that's just a little bit yeah. more than I bargained for. But God's will, when we embrace it, even though we don't know all the details, we know that he still would choose better for us than we could choose for ourselves. And in the process, God would be glorified and his message will be carried to the world.
Yeah. Yeah, so true. Yeah. You think of David, all that he went through, and he was already the king.
Yeah.
Had already been anointed by the king out in the field, you know, by Samuel.
Mm.
And all of those things that you mentioned happened while he was the king. Chased by the king who mm-hmm. had been actually, in God's mind, been dethroned.
Yeah.
Yes, actually it said that what God removed the spirit from him, and David was used to comfort him, but here is David like, wow, I'm the king and I'm hiding in this cave and I'm the king. And God, is it really true? You know, and it took years before he was able to actually, you know, rule as king. And even in the first 7 years, I think, of his, actually ruling as king was only over part of Israel.
Right.
Until all of Israel, recognized him as king.
Yeah.
But then, you know, the interesting part is the kind of king that he was, I think, was because of what he went through.
Exactly.
You know, like this trial and what he learned out in the wilderness mm-hmm. and what he learned at the foot of Saul and the friendship he had with Jonathan and these things that he learned through hardship
mm-hmm.
made David the king that he was.
Absolutely.
And he was surrounded on all sides by enemies and mm-hmm. trouble and... And so when he became king, this was all in him. Like God made him, God kind of made him a king through the trials. And it's interesting because his son Solomon, who was kind of birthed into being a king and had peace on all around him, ended up, you know, at the end of his life, just going off the rails, 600 wives and so on and so forth that removed his heart from God.
Yeah.
So we think of David. These trials where he would have said, well, I'm the king, like I shouldn't be going through, and God says, no, I am forming you into the king that you're going to represent me. And what he did and in what he handed over to Solomon was, you know, peace on all sides.
Yeah.
And so all those trials in the will of God produced a man who is still recognized in Israel as the greatest king, you know.
Yeah, and will rule with Christ when he establishes his kingdom on the earth.
The guy who's, you know, being chased all around the country.
Yeah.
And, you know, almost begging for food and doing different things to get food for his men and even siding with the Philistines at one point just for – but yet when he became king, he was a different man.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We know what God's will is for everyone. And we read it in the scriptures, 1 Timothy 2:4, God's will is that all men would be saved.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a given, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
There are other things in the Bible that clearly, objectively tell us and teach us what the will of God is. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus mm-hmm. concerning you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Abstain from sexual sin. Some things are so clear.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the gray areas? What color car should I buy? Who should I marry? How about mm-hmm. that one?
Yeah.
I mean, I can imagine a lot of believers are like, Lord, who's the right one? How do I discover that? Is that going to be revealed to me somehow, some way? Those are the gray areas, but that's when seek God and seek his guidance, and we look to his word, and we in everything through prayer and supplication, we let our requests be known unto God. Mm-hmm. So there are some definite ways in which we can take our will and find it merged together with God's mm-hmm. will, can't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's, I think that's, I would say for most believers, that's their biggest concern. You know, because I couldn't agree more with what you said, you know, like God does reveal his will for all believers. You know, I was thinking of being conformed to his image, you know. And, you know, these are things that are very laid out in the scriptures for all of us as believers. And in a sense, we could say all the things that we go through in our personal walk with God are revealing that, are conforming us into his image, you know. So here's God's kind of his overarching, I don't know if that's the right word, mm-hmm. his will for all of us as believers. And then he's doing all these things individually in us, you know, to bring this to pass, yeah. you know. And yeah. and yeah, these are, I couldn't agree, you know, the big decisions, you know, which we have all had to make in our life. Like we're sitting here in Baltimore because we made a big decision in the will of God. Mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, but again, it goes back to there's no pattern or formula for that, you know?
No, there isn't.
And I, you know, can I tell a quick story? I don't know how much time we got.
Oh, we got time. Go right ahead. Yeah, absolutely.
So I just was thinking about this because it was interesting because – you know, even in my own mind, sometimes I'm thinking, you know, of specific things that I want God to answer. And number one, God is very much more patient than we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Moses waited 40 years for his calling to really come to fruition, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But this was an interesting story because it was maybe like 4 years ago, we Pastor Schaller, we had a missions night, a Sunday night. We always have it in maybe in March, and we talk about the summer plans and summer harvest and different countries and what has God put on people's hearts. And so I'm just sitting there in the audience and Sunday night service, and out of nowhere, and you know Pastor Schaller, so you won't be surprised by this. From the pulpit, he's like, and wouldn't it be great if Bob Colban took a team to Europe this summer? I mean, we had not talked about this at all. My wife just gave me this look like, you know, like what's going on? You know, I mean, he just can't. And then he just moved on in the message. Mm-hmm. That was it. So I'm just sitting there. Of course, the service ends. People are coming up to me. Oh, really? Where are you going? Like, and I didn't know that. Even my family, like, I didn't, my wife, I didn't know that. And I said, I don't know anything about this. You know, this is like, I don't know what he's talking about. But also, so, you know, a week went by maybe, and because it was my pastor, I didn't just blow it off. You understand? I think you sure. understand that, you yeah. know, just because of the respect and the honor and you know, the impact that he's had in my life for more than 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that I'm sitting at home and not praying, but just kind of thinking. And I said, well, if I took a team to Europe, where would I go? Just kind of responding to his, again, he didn't talk to me afterwards about it. So that was just a question in my mind, like, where would I go? And we had just had, Isabel, Palmieri over the house and, you know, she's from France, and her daughter and son-in-law had just moved to Toulouse, France, a country that my wife and I had lived in for a while in France years before that. They had just moved there with their family of four to plant a church in Toulouse. So I remember thinking, well, I think of all the places, I would probably go to Toulouse because it's a brand new church plant, and what better place to go and bring a team on summer harvest? So this is just in my mind, really, you know. I can't say that God said, in a sense, strongly. So, you know, I just said to my wife and I prayed about it and I called the pastor there. I just said, I'm just curious, like, you know, would it be okay if we came with maybe a team or my wife and I? And he goes, oh man, we have been praying for this.
Wow.
He said, this is our prayer that God would send. And I think he said someone from Baltimore to come visit us.
Wow.
So I'm like, you know, now I'm like, uh-oh, you know, I think this is real. Maybe this is real. And then I'm like, you know, this is, you know, months before it would happen. And, just to make a long story short, I'm like, I don't know how to build a team. I don't, what, I said to Pastor Gary, do I put posters up around the campus? I need a team. Or I was, now I'm striving, if you know what I mean,
sure,
just to try
sure.
and figure out, like, maybe to make it come to pass in my will. Like, but I think God had revealed to me the bigger, like, this was his will. And I just, you know, Pastor Gary said, just relax. If it's just you and your wife, it's fine. They're going to love it, you know? Mm. And I'll just, you know, there's a lot to the story, but by the time we went, we had a team of 15.
Wow.
We had three people from Paris that came down. We had two people that took the train from Geneva, Switzerland, all the way over to Toulouse and joined us. We had four or five people from the Nîmes Church and four or five people from the Montpellier Church that all joined us. And I didn't contact any of them. Like, God did an incredible, when I look back on those days, that time there, what do I remember? I remember what God did.
Yes.
Like, God, you put this team together. I could never have put this team together.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, my wife, and I'm standing there, like, quote unquote, in charge of this team, in awe of what God had done, the unity that we had. Some of, you know, not everybody spoke English, but God used it, you know?
Absolutely.
So somebody could say to me, hey, Pastor Bob, how did you know to go to Toulouse and take a team? Like, I don't know. That's not a pattern. That's just, as you know, it's kind of like something that just starts as maybe that still small voice or just the initiation of someone else to get you to start thinking a certain way. Because I'm like, I could never leave it. I never led a team like this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not qualified.
Sure.
And God says, well, no, actually, you don't really have to be qualified.
That's right.
You just have to be available.
That's right.
You know, and I'll put together a team like, you know, that'll be, you know, unified, one, just, you know, have the same vision. I'll draw them and put them together for you. Really, because God, like, you know, when I look back on that, I say this is how God can reveal his will to us.
That's right.
It's not, you know, it wasn't a burning bush.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't a Macedonian man in a vision. It mm-hmm. wasn't. It was just maybe following these little initiations of God, and all of a sudden you find yourself in the other side of the world.
Wow.
You know,
that's amazing.
And and I'm sure Pastor Levy, you could share stories similar to that also. You know, how did we get from point A to point
yeah.
B?
Yeah.
Why did you do it? Or how did you know? Because that's what people want, you know.
Yeah.
That's what people want to know. Like,
yeah.
How did you know? I don't know. You just know.
Yeah. But as you said earlier, you won't find the formula. If you put God in a box and say, this is the way he's going to do it. There is no box that can contain
That's right.
God.
Yeah, absolutely. There He'll blow isn't. It up instantly.
He'll blow it up right away. It's almost like I'm reminded of the story of the man born blind.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus comes along and his disciples see this man. Now, listen to these brilliant theologians. They say to Jesus, who sinned? Was it him?
Yeah.
Or was it his parents? And I can imagine Jesus maybe shaking his head or rolling his eyes and saying, well, you guys just don't get it, do you? Neither this man nor his parents. This man was born blind mm-hmm. for the glory of God.
For the glory of God. Wow.
I mean, that's just, who thinks that? It just is a reminder to us that our ways are not God's ways.
Yeah.
Our thoughts are nothing like God's thoughts. And God will use anything and everything and everyone and circumstances to bring about his will
mm-hmm.
in our lives. Just mm-hmm. a suggestion from Pastor Schaller from the pulpit about you leading a team to Europe. Again, you could have shut that door in your mind
mm-hmm.
and said, not going to happen, never done it, never will. But you were just available.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, as you said, God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called.
Yeah, that's a good
way. And you were
saying,
called.
Yeah.
You were moved by the Spirit of mm-hmm. God to do that. And the results were amazing.
Yeah.
That's how God sometimes operates, doesn't
mm-hmm.
he?
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, many times the will is, you know, I even said this to my wife this morning, like coming here, and I said, this is not in my comfort zone.
There you go.
And I said, and I said to her, but that's why I'm doing it.
Amen.
Because we as human beings, Christian, you know, we're human beings, we are subject to the same, influences, as everybody is. We're not immune from. And we get in a comfort zone, and even in our Christianity, we can get very comfortable. And I'll do A, B, and C, but don't ask me to do D, E, and F. Mm-hmm. Because it's outside of, this is what I do in my Christianity. And God is not going to allow, because that's the same box. That's also putting God now it's a Christian box, maybe you could say, And God says, I'm not going to allow that because in expanding your capacity or in expanding into an area that you're not comfortable in, that's where you grow.
That's it.
Otherwise, we will be the same exact Christian. Hopefully the way I'm saying it sounds right. We would be the same as when we got saved. Mm-hmm. We have this comfort. We have our Christian comfort zone. Before that, we had our carnal comfort zone, Mm-hmm. And God says, I got so much more for you.
That's right.
Step out on that limb, and I'm on that limb with you, So.
Well, we're glad that we brought you out of your comfort zone and we've made you uncomfortable here
uncomfortable,
in the Grace Hour
today. Yes.
And in fact, what we'd like to do is make you more uncomfortable and have you back in the Grace Hour again. So there's more discomfort coming your way, Pastor Bob.
Waves, right? Yeah.
The wonderful part of today's Grace Hour podcast is that, God's will can become our will. Mm-hmm. And it's not like he's going to just dismiss us and get us out of the way. It's wonderful when the Spirit of God, because the grace of God has made such an impact on our lives, that we say, you know what? Your will is better than my mm-hmm. will. What you have planned for me is better than I could ever plan for myself.
Yeah, yeah.
And through prayer, through seeking wise counsel, through understanding the Word of God, through even a podcast like the one we're having today, can help people discover that my will can be God's will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And it can work out and through our lives.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
great. Well, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah,
today.
No, it was great. Thanks for having me. And, yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
it was great.
Good.
And hopefully it's edifying to those who tune in and listen. And it was great.
Well, then we'll just go on record and invite you to come back and join us next Friday for another Grace Hour podcast. How does that sound? If you're available.
Yes, I think I'm available, but I will let you know for sure.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Thank
you. Thank you. Thanks, Pastor Bob. Thank you, friends, for tuning in and joining us today. We really appreciate it. We want to remind you that next week we have a brand new week of broadcasts coming your way, so we hope you'll stay tuned and join us. We hope you have a great weekend. Make sure you get out to church and stay built up in the most holy faith. Until next Monday, may God bless you.